This podcast may contain adult language and themes, or it might not. We're not really sure. We haven't recorded it yet.
I'm Jason.
I'm Diggs.
I make software, music, and podcasts.
I connect people, personally and professionally, and I like talking with Jason.
This is the Candy Factory 5x5 podcast.
Five conversations.
Five random topics.
5 minutes each.
When we hear this sound,
we move on to the next topic. Next.
On every episode, we invite a very special guest to join us.
Hi, my name is...
The Great Cornholio!
And I own the fridge.
You realize you just gave me space to insert whatever I want in there.
Yep.
Well, you made your own bed.
I did it. So, hi, my name is James Fuddy.
Do you go by James or Jamie?
Or Jamie, either. My family calls me Jamie.
I've always called you Jamie.
Yeah, a lot of people call me Fuddy.
Yeah, right.
A lot of people have asked me, what's your real name? Because they call me Fuddy. They only know me as Fuddy.
Legitimate.
So I own the fridge. I'm a co-owner of the fridge with my business partner, Kevin Brown.
For anybody listening who's outside of Lancaster, what is the fridge? I mean, you don't just own a refrigerator.
No.
I mean, you do own a refrigerator.
We do, but we don't repair them.
Okay. That's a good line.
I'm sure you get that, right?
We actually do get calls and emails along. Yeah,
I am still selling wood stoves from my time running the production company Wood Stove House. Yeah, I get calls. It's down to about two a year now.
That's great.
That people will call and say, "Do you have? I got a 1964 Baker. I need a new front door. You know,
yeah, I'd like to take a look at it. Can you bring it over?
Yeah, come on." So sorry to say.
Yeah, no. So the fridge in the fridge has about roughly give or take 400 different beers, and you can mix or match 6-pack. You can have one. You can have 7. And we do artisan flatbread pizza. And it's not a bar. It's not a restaurant. It's something in between.
It's an experience.
It's a craft. Yes, that it is. And it's like a craft beer and pizza cafe. It's pretty
That's a cool way of putting it, yeah.
It's pretty low key.
It's been around for a while now, right? 5 years, 6 years?
8.
8 years?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wow,
yeah.
Time flies, don't blink.
So you and I have known each other a long time.
So today, welcome to the program, by the way.
Thank you.
Monsieur
Thank you for
Fuddy.
Having me.
It's great to have you.
I feel privileged to be a part of this.
5 conversations, 5 minutes each, 5 random topics going to be presented to us by my magic iPad, and I'm getting ready to cue it up now. Our first topic for this 5x5 is Netflix.
Oh.
Where are you with Netflix, Diggs? I feel like from that reaction that you gave, the listeners can't see it.
This is true, but...
You've got an opinion.
I'm pro-Netflix.
Are you pro-Netflix?
Potentially go back to that. You'll have to listen to another episode to figure out why I said that. No, actually, not just Netflix, but all of those streaming services, I think, are great. I wish Netflix would not do, if I had a gripe about Netflix, the dumping of their original content all in one fell swoop,
mm-hmm.
kind of like, you know, then you binge it and it's like, oh, what's next?
It's definitely changed the way we view things.
It really does. So where I'm at Netflix is I've recently have had an epiphany of I don't need it.
Oh,
this is interesting.
Yeah. I love it. And I realize that where I'm at now in my life, I have so much going on and I don't need that distraction.
Yeah.
And at this point, the only thing I could really justify it for is Stranger Things.
Ah.
Oh.
Once a year.
Interesting.
I'm just not really drawn to anything else that's going on there, except full disclosure, I did just watch The Irishman.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Which was amazing.
Yeah, it's like 3.5 hours long, right?
It is.
So it's like an investment. It's a whole day.
And I love that kind of stuff, too. I love the longer, the better.
Nice.
Love it. I bang for buck, right?
Right.
Like
right.
Return on investment.
Totally.
And I'm looking at my return on investment with Netflix, and month after month after month, I watch nothing. At all.
Until Stranger Things comes out.
Until something piques my interest, which is, I just don't have the bandwidth anymore.
Were you an early adopter? Were you mailing the DVDs, Netflix?
No, I've only been a streamer.
Okay.
I've only been a streamer.
I think it was really interesting how, when Netflix came out and people were mailing the red envelopes and people were mailing the DVDs back. Like, I was totally skeptical about the whole survival of this thing. I was like, is this really going to work? Like, is this really going to work? Then they switched to the streaming bit and it was like, oh boy. But this is changing everything.
The DVD thing worked. I mean, it did.
I mean, but, you know, it was short-lived, really, in the grand scheme of things.
Oh, that's fair.
Yeah. You know, I mean,
see, I can't plan that far ahead. I could have never planned that far ahead.
It to know that it's coming.
To know that, like, hey, in 3 days, I'm going to want to watch this movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why I loved Blockbuster.
Sure.
Like, I want to go. All right. What do they have? I'm more tactile. Like, I want to see it.
Yeah.
You know, flip it over, look, read. Okay.
But I think the thing that really effectively replaced Blockbuster were those vending machines. What are they called? Redbox.
Yes.
Redbox. Yeah. I mean, that like totally makes sense. Like you can cut out all that overhead and you have this.
Was that Netflix? Redbox?
No.
That's a separate company.
Yeah, I believe it's a separate company. But I just mean as far as the way they did, like that's the destroyer. You know what I mean? Because you're right. With Netflix, it's sort of like I'm waiting for it to come. I've got all, like, you're almost like meal planning your movies or whatever. And who meal plans?
But did you go to Blockbuster? It's like, I mean, I had Blockbuster growing up, obviously. But did you go to Blockbuster not knowing what you wanted? You would just go to see what was there?
Sometimes. I was like, I want to see this movie. You know, we're going to bring this movie back. I'm looking for it. They don't have it. Oh, that's a bummer. This was my second choice or third, depending on what they had. Or sometimes it was just, I feel like watching a movie. Let's go to Blockbuster. Let's see what's out there. You know what? We brought back three movies. You know, it's going to be a great weekend.
Look, I do that now with Netflix. Like I could spend most of my Netflix time is just browsing the...
Really? Yes.
I never even get into... Because usually I have a half hour to kill, you know, and I've got my iPad. And I'm like, oh, I'll see what's on Netflix. And then like 29 minutes later, I pick something and I now have a minute. So I just move on.
I literally did that 2 days ago. I had to get out the door for something, but I had some time to kill. And
I tell you what Netflix did for me was it got me addicted to documentaries. You know, I was a fan of a documentary here, especially music documentaries, you know, through the years. But the Netflix documentary section, it just opened my eyes to so many documentaries that I really became interested in. A lot of the true crime stuff.
Oh, okay.
You know, the Making a Murderer a few years ago was probably the first thing that I kind of binged.
Yeah.
You know, and it was around the holidays, and I think I spent a whole day watching like the first four episodes.
Yeah. I think the first thing that I ever binged on Netflix was definitely Breaking Bad.
Okay.
When that was hot. I waited until that whole thing was over because I knew that I was going to want to just blast through it and it was going to be an amazing ride.
It's changed the way we view stuff.
I prefer that because I think it came out, you know, weekly, or there was a season and it was a whole big thing. And I just stayed away. And I was like, okay, now I'm ready.
There we go.
There
Netflix.
It is.
That was perfect.
I'm pro Netflix.
Yeah, exactly.
I am too. We're breaking up.
Topic number two on this episode of 5x5 is favorite intros, movie, music, podcasts, TV, etc. So theme songs, it sounds like what we're talking about here. What are your favorite intros?
So I think this came up because I was talking about when Carl Castle was the host of...
Oh, right, Carl Castle.
Oh, my Lord.
Wait, don't tell me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And just the, like, no offense to Bill Curtis, or Bill, not Bill Curtis, what's his name? I'm Bill Curtis, that's his name, right? Isn't it?
I have no idea what you're even saying.
The current like, quizmaster person. It's just that Carl Castle's voice was just, like, so good. Mm-hmm. So that's what sparked this. Because I know I put this in. This is
didn't they used to like offer Carl Castle as a donation or like a reward? He could record your voicemail.
Yeah, he was the prize. He would do your voicemail, and then that sounds great. But now it's anyone off that's on the dais, I guess, that for that particular episode you can pick which like one of the guests, Bill Curtis or it's not Bill Curtis. I just can't think.
Bill
of
Bill Curtis is the A&E guy, isn't he?
Yeah, Bill Curtis is also someone I know from F&M, so I'm thinking, hi, Bill.
Same guy?
Possibly.
It wouldn't surprise me.
They might be the same age.
Could be.
F&M's amazing.
This is...
I feel like Bill Curtis was the old A&E, like in the 90s, like he did the those like true crime shows.
Oh, yeah.
American Law or something. I don't remember.
Yeah.
American.
American song. I don't remember what it was.
So we're looking at an intro for music also.
Oh, I was broad. You can.
Yeah, this is really broad. But for TV, for me, is definitely Portlandia. if we're talking music. Like
okay.
the way, like just music.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
The band Washed Out. That's who did that. Yeah. And it's just such a light, beautiful, amazing song that just kind of makes you happy and makes you, for me, having been to Portland a few times.
That is not a show that I've seen maybe three or four episodes of that show, but I'm not materializing that theme.
Yeah,
like if I say Cheers, for example.
Right.
Right.
Or MASH or Friends. Okay. Yeah, Friends. Is,
yeah.
Friends is good. Yeah. Not necessarily my favorite.
Am I too avant-garde?
No, I just think, I mean, that's what the show notes are for. We can just link to the
right.
intro.
Right. Cue the link right there.
Exactly.
I don't know that I have a favorite TV one. I just know them from being a kid. Okay. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know that I really ever, nothing ever really brought a tear.
Okay. You know? Well, no, but it's like, I preferred like the original Monk intro music than what they did for season two through whenever it ended. Like stuff like that. Like, I mean, I'm riffing now, but like.
I probably, you know what show though I probably reference the most? Mm. I'll say that is the Jeffersons.
Yeah.
Moving on up to the east side.
That's a good one.
To a deluxe apartment in the sky.
Yeah. Don't stop.
I love that. I guess I did really like that. It just takes me back to my childhood. It takes me back to being sick as a kid.
Sure.
Right? And I would stay at my grandmother's house and watch the reruns.
But that's going to be generational, though, too.
It's totally generational.
Because you and I are probably similar in age, where I think Diggs is maybe just 1 or 2 years younger than we are. And, you know, there might be a different show that resonates for when he was sick.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, for you and I, it was like Three's Company and
The Jeffersons. And then there was that sound. So the difference, too, was that you had, like, what, 13 channels on TV to pick from, right? So you had soap operas on the big networks.
Yeah.
And then you had that one channel that eventually became Fox. You know what I mean? There was that independent channel that someday became either Fox or one of the others. Oh. And that always ran like the Mayberry, like Andy Griffith show.
Yeah.
And
so I grew up in Wyoming. So year eight was we only had three channels.
It's three channels.
Yeah. And depending on how I asked my sister Becky to hold the antenna was dependent on what we watched for the day.
Yeah. So you're pre-cable.
Yeah.
Your antenna.
Way pre-cable.
Did you go to UHF? Did you ever switch over? Did you have any idea what I'm talking about?
It never worked out. It would where we lived. It was not even. I was just like it was nothing.
Well, see, there was a channel on Pittsburgh, WPGH 53, and the VHS was like channel 2 to channel 15 or 13 or something like that. Like you didn't necessarily have shows on all of them or an actual channel. But that the TV VHS, and then you switched over to UHF or VHF. Mm-hmm. You switched over to UHF, and you had like the upper band.
Yes.
So PGH 53, you had to go to UHF and go up to number 53.
I feel like we should explain this to Dick.
No.
Before there was a cable that came to your house.
I actually didn't grow up with cable, so even though I am a couple years younger than you,
and you grew up in a thriving metropolis.
This is true. We still had UVH. I would use it to get the Connecticut Public Broadcasting.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Well, that's the end of that. Topic number three for this episode's 5x5 is gangster rap.
I'm out.
I'm kind of out too.
I'm pro gangster rap.
Was this a Chad O?
I have no idea where that came from.
Oh, okay.
No, I think it was. I have an opinion about gangster rap. I think that it really redefined music probably more than it's given credit for.
Oh, okay.
Like I think that in the late 80s when those artists were producing their first records, you know, like NWA, Public Enemy, those kind of bands. Mm-hmm. I think the impact on even down to rock music was massive, right?
Oh, absolutely.
But it's not, I don't know that it's ever really given, maybe it is and I'm blind to it, but I just feel like that it's not given the due. You know what I mean? Like I feel like that when rock and rap and those sorts of things sort of came together.
Look at Aerosmith. So that's a perfect example of that, right?
Of with the blend.
Run DMC, yes. Right? When they did Walk This Way.
Yeah, right.
It was a mashup.
Right.
Was that the first original mashup?
Between rock and rap?
Yeah, think about it.
I think it was.
And not that Run DMC was really gangster rap.
No, but no. It was before the gangster rap stuff. But there's a great, I want to say it was Sound Opinions, if you've ever heard of that show. It's a podcast, but it's a radio program in Chicago. That is, you know, that they distribute through podcasting as well. And they do a whole episode on that one song.
Okay.
Really, really cool to hear the story, because Aerosmith was sort of struggling at that time. Run DMC was hot. The whole sort of, the original hip hop movement was on the rise, right? So, you know, you're mid 80s. It's not household yet. It hasn't taken over the world yet, but it's definitely on the rise. And Aerosmith, it was very, very reluctantly did that. You know, it was not something that they were all about. And apparently the sessions weren't even terribly cordial. They weren't, you know, they were just sort of like whatever.
Yeah.
Both, all parties
right,
involved.
Right, right, right.
Rick Rubin, yeah, I think maybe.
The agents put us up to this, so yeah, we're going to do
who
this.
Who suggested it?
Right.
I feel like Rick Rubin had something to do
someone
with
who's
it.
In charge of numbers, I'm who, sure, had yeah. put them together.
Who was, you know, who was producing bands like Slayer and the Beastie Boys and LL Cool J and, you know, coming out of New York. So I feel, I think it was him. So this may need to be a correction in our show notes later, but it was someone like that, right? Okay. Who had a lot of pull in music, who was doing really interesting stuff and was on the rise as well, who pulled that together.
But when did gangster rap really begin, though? Was it, you know, Boys in the Hood? Was it Grandmaster Flash,
it
Snoop
LA.
Dogg and LA and the it's Straight Outta Compton and yeah. all of that?
I don't know enough about it to say for sure, but I feel like, just from my general sort of music knowledge, pop culture knowledge, was, you know, 86, 87 would have been the birth. And it was right out of the South Central Los Angeles, you know, area, what was going on there in the 80s. And, you know, honestly, I've been very interested recently in some Netflix documentaries about Los Angeles and the race riots, right? You remember the 92 race riots?
Yeah.
The Rodney King
stuff. Rodney King, yeah.
The history that builds up to that moment is, it's just unbelievable how much fed into that culture, that part of that city, going back, you know, to the 50s, 60s. I mean, from being a white kid from Western Pennsylvania in a coal town at that time, I had no context, right? Zero context for that. And you're watching CNN or whatever, and you're just like, you don't, I remember not getting it at all. 20 years later, right? Whatever it is, at 16, 17 years later, watching these films and hearing, learning for the first time really about how these places were just, it was sickening how these neighborhoods were treated by the authorities, by the Los Angeles Police Department, and how there were incidents that happened that we didn't know about across the country.
There's always more to the story.
Absolutely. That fueled that moment in time. And so when that happened and when that broke, the Rodney King incident, the videotape, and seeing that broadcast all over the country, and then the trial, and then the acquittal, it was just like, oh, okay.
It's a big thing.
I completely get it.
So the other, so for me, growing up in Wyoming, which is probably the whitest and reddest state in the nation, being introduced to rap in the mid 80s through essentially the Beastie Boys.
Right.
Like, you know, let's party.
Yeah.
You know, because we have that right. And then seeing them later when they were touring for the Ill Communication tour, let's keep this going because,
well, we can't.
Oh, we can't?
Because the iPad's going to bark a new topic. We'll circle back.
Ill Communication was an amazing album.
Absolutely.
And it's really cool. So cool to have that perspective growing up in a town that literally had 0.0 people of color.
Right.
And then moving to Lancaster, Pennsylvania, and just understanding that there's a whole different world out there and having a different appreciation for that kind of music, for rap or anything.
Let's keep this going, because our next topic is Generation X.
Hey,
So, oh, yeah, there we go.
As it would turn out.
Yeah, and so how did... Let's talk about Generation X from that context then. Mm-hmm. You know, what was music like for Generation X, particularly in your, you know, where you were coming from?
Well, for me, growing up in Wyoming, there was only two types of music in Wyoming. I mean, it was either country or it was metal.
Mm.
And I loved them both. I loved them both.
Right.
And I just loved music. But having left Wyoming in 1990 and moving to Lancaster at the age of 19, it was just at the beginning, you know, Guns N' Roses were definitely yeah. big, very hot at that point in time, but hair metal was on the slide. And also coming here, I had no idea who the Grateful Dead were. And being meeting, you know, my best friend, whose name is Ski, he introduced me to the Grateful Dead, which I'd seen the Steal Your Face logo before.
Sure, yeah,
I saw the videos. There was that catchy tune in the towards the end of the 80s.
Right. Touch of Grey.
Touch
probably.
Of Grey, right? Some weird video that they turned into skeletons. And then, but didn't know anything about it until I was introduced to it. And it was like this whole counterculture thing. And then right. I started understanding like what the counterculture was. And then the whole counterculture of the grunge movement came. And I was like latched on, like, this is it. This is amazing. This is, you know, DIY. It's punk. It's rock. It's, you know, even jam band to an extent. You know, a lot of
that was that was a golden era of music.
It really was.
It defined really our generation, Generation X.
For me, it still has a lasting effect.
Yeah, Diggs, what do you think of Generation X?
I was just listening.
For clarity, you are a millennial.
I'm like
no, you're totally a millennial.
Well, no. Well, somebody was arguing with me about this, about where the cutoff is, and apparently I'm kind of close to the end of it, which I'm not really sure.
When's your birth year?
91. Like when is the right. So
94, 95 is the cutoff.
Oh, okay. Then yes, I am a millennial.
Yeah, it's like 82 to 94, I think, is the one of the official.
And then Gen X is.
Gen X would be 60 mid 60s to like around 1981.
Okay, all right, got it. So then. What was the question again?
What do you think of Generation X? And nobody talks about us.
Gen X?
It's the boomers versus millennials, and nobody talks about us. We feel left out.
Well, but I feel like you're more enlightened than...
Can I just point out that I'm the only one here wearing flannel?
Yeah, that's true.
That's a good point.
Good point.
Mm. But, I guess that means my mom's a boomer, so... I do like boomers. at least two, because both of my parents are. But I feel like there's a... Like, yeah, Gen X, you all kind of... grew up at like right after like the folks that had gone crazy at Woodstock and
right.
I feel like you all,
those are the people that raised us.
Well, right, but then you all kind of took like, I mean, I don't know if it kind of homogenized the group, but I feel like boomers tend to be more like divisively split.
Absolutely.
Than
yeah,
Gen
I would
X.
Agree with that.
I feel like Gen X is like a moderate middle between like who like it, and boomers can be they're like I feel like there's no middle ground with boomers. They're either like really right or really left or really mm-hmm. for X or against mm-hmm. Y or whatever it is.
Yeah,
and I feel like Gen X is kind of like
we accept people for who they are. We see you. Yeah. We see you. Welcome. All are welcome.
Thank you.
You know,
appreciate
we really had no beef with anybody.
No, really didn't. And you know, the thing about that generation was that we'd grew up really in the shadow of or the wake of the Vietnam movement, the Vietnam era. So that's all we heard about as kids, like, and as teenagers was like Vietnam, 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 to the point where there were people of our generation who really, really tried hard to be sort of hippies when the Gulf War happened. Like,
sure.
It was like there was a part of our generation, I think, that really wanted it to be a quagmire.
Mm-hmm.
And then... you know, the United States went in there and like 40 days later they came, you know, it was like done. Yeah. And it was like...
It was short-lived.
Yeah, it was a very short-lived mm-hmm. Conflict.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, that's what we were fed. Like, it was like the importance of the 60s and the importance of the Vietnam era and the turmoil and the trouble. And we really didn't have... It was a pretty smooth sailing.
It kind of was. You know, I mean, we had a good... We had I mean, the best music coming out, right? Nirvana, Pearl Jam, Chili Peppers, Soundgarden... Like all, like the whole grunge movement.
There's a, I have a whole, like I could do a 20 by 20 on, on the,
can I get in on that?
On the golden era of,
yeah.
of, one of the golden eras of music, but it was certainly our generation.
Speak to it. No, like,
well, no, I mean,
5 seconds or less.
Yeah, no. it really wouldn't do it justice to get into it. So maybe another time.
That's fair.
We are moving on to number five, the final topic for today's 5x5, and it is, oh, the suspense, the eye doctor.
The eye doctor?
Where are you? I'm pro eye doctors.
I think they're great.
I see mine every, well, you pick the right guy.
Do you, yeah, that's, eye, do you that's go true. To the eye doctor?
tell us, funny,
I've had
why.
So many eye issues with my left eye.
Really?
It's not even funny. It actually is so ridiculous. It is funny at this point. Let's see. I added it up. I think I've had 5 surgeries on my left
really?
Eye.
Really? Was there an incident, an accident or something?
There was no one incident, but I do have an autoimmune disease called sarcoidosis.
Oh, okay.
And it's autoimmune. So it can attack any organ in your body. And the type that I have attacked my lungs. So I have a cough. Sometimes you'll hear me cough every now and then. And it attacked my eye, my left eye. So about a week after we opened the fridge, I had this huge flare-up, probably brought on from all the stress, mental, physical, emotional, that it took to open the fridge.
Right.
We're open about a week or so, and all of a sudden I start seeing some weird things with my left eye. I'm like, well, this is really weird.
Uh-huh.
So I went to my eye doctor, you know, just optometrist, and he said, I'm going to make an appointment for a retina specialist for you right now. You're going to go from here to there. Okay. All right. Cool. Went to the retina specialist, Dr. Broad, who's, as it turns out, is probably one of the top 100 retina specialists in the world that we are so lucky to have here in Lancaster. And he said, you have tears in your retina, and those are precursors to detachments, a retina detachment. Okay. So
I don't know what that is, but that sounds terrifying.
Yeah, it sucks.
Like those words together in a sentence.
Right, right. So then so he said, well, we're going to have to operate. This is the kind of procedure we're going to have to do. And I said, okay, so do we like schedule that tomorrow, like end of the week, next week? What? How are we doing? No, we're doing that now. We're doing this now. Oh, can I call my wife?
Wow.
Yeah, yeah.
And then this is a week after you opened this brand new business.
Yep. And the line was out the door and down the sidewalk. And we were like, what's going on? We didn't know we didn't know how to handle all of that.
Was that
the first real incident. Yeah. And then fast forward 5 years, just for no reason at all, the retina just let loose and just became full on detached. So that again was emergency surgery.
Yeah.
And then 30 days after that, it happened again, different part of the retina. And not that the first part didn't take, the first surgery didn't take. It was like it was just letting go.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And another surgery. And then the second surgery caused cataracts. So I had to have cataract surgery. And I've had.
Damn.
Yeah, it's been a mess. I've had, you know, the first 6 months of, let's see, 2018. I had a steroid injection in my eye every 4 to 5 weeks.
You've spent some time with eye doctors.
So now, yes. That's what I mean. This is amazing.
This couldn't have been any more perfect.
Serendipity, I'm sure, Diggs.
Yeah. Do you go to the eye doctor, Diggs?
it's been a while.
Do you wear glasses?
I do have reading glasses.
Do you?
But it's mostly because I have astigmatism in my right eye. So it's less about correction and more about keeping my eye from over-focusing. Mm. Or the... What's the part that focuses?
I don't know.
It's the one that
the
focuses.
Focuser.
Yeah, if I'm reading paper.
Yeah.
And in any sort of light, natural light.
So
is
the
worse.
Iris.
Is that the is iris? That,
so well, the iris allows the light in or keeps
then
it out.
That must be it. So then it will the rate that it focuses at trying to read paper gives me headaches.
Oh wow.
But if I'm reading backlit, where it's not it's a constant source, I'm fine. So I don't need it.
For computers or iPads or something. You're fine.
I wear the blue blockers. If I'm going to be at the computer a long time, but if I don't need the reading glasses for a computer, iPad, phone, just for paper.
What are blue blockers?
They're like the...
filters out
it's the blue light that comes from any screen, like your phone, iPad, computer. There's a blue light that's emitted. That's why your phone has, what's it, night mode or something.
Oh, right. To keep it from...
You can set that so that it's, when it starts getting dark, that will automatically change it more to more of a yellow hue.
Right. Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
And that is supposed to... By doing that, you'll be more likely to fall asleep because the blue light keeps you awake. Am I right?
That's Biggs? Correct.
Yeah.
Does it look different through the blue blockers?
Yeah. It's just a light filter. So it's not, I mean, you can get blue blockers that completely block out blue light. I know some like developers that do that, but I don't need that. So, yeah. How's your eye doctor?
I wear glasses, but you know what? I end up going to the eye doctor like once every 5 years.
Mm. Yeah.
I don't know. It's just the thing.
The irony, you don't see him much.
I don't.
Hey.
irony.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know where the where that 5x5 went. Don't blink.
Love it.
I tried to get there. I couldn't.
Dad jokes. No, it was all day.
Great. It was
all day.
Couldn't
every day.
Get there. Thank you so much, Jamie Fuddy.
Yeah, thank you so
for joining
much for
us
having
on
me.
Today's episode of 5x5. It's great
fun.
To see you again, man.
Yeah, it's good to see you as well.
Yeah, thanks for coming.
Diggs, I'll see you in a few minutes.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
The Candy Factory 5x5 podcast is recorded at the studios of The Candy Factory, a co-working campus in Lancaster, Pennsylvania.
The show is produced and hosted by Jason Mundock,
along with co-host Robert Diggs, regularly joining the Yakety Yakking.
The opinions and views expressed on this podcast
are solely those of the expressor.
The Candy Factory is not in any way responsible if anyone said something stupid.
Our theme music was composed
and recorded by a really cool guy.
Really cool guy.
A really cool guy.
Really cool guy named John Chin.
Relevant links and show notes
can be found on the show post
at the Candy Factory website.
CoworkingInLancaster.com.
Maybe that's it.
Is that it? Okay.